Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Each church often has its own traditions around Christmas and New Year's, don't they? I know growing up, when I was a kid, I never went to a Christmas Eve service. Our church just didn't do them. Instead, we did these massive, elaborate children's Christmas plays on Christmas Sunday. I mean, I remember like starting to memorize lines for these things in September. They were so elaborate and they took up so much time. That's what we did on Christmas. Now, some of you, just the thought of Christmas without a Christmas Eve service is like, you can't handle it. It's like, that's part of Christmas. Maybe some of you grew up in other traditions that had other things that you did. Well, one of the things that my previous church did, one of their traditions was the Sunday, either right before or right after New Year's, depending on where the dates fell, was always Reflection Sunday. The pastor would recruit two or three people from the congregation to share a story from their year. And I always found it fascinating to listen to them and hear how God was working in their lives. One particular year, the pastor approached me about giving one of the reflections. And it was sometime after Thanksgiving, and I said I agreed to it. And then early December, I distinctly remember thinking, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to share. And it was like, God was like, oh, I'll give you something to share. Middle of the month, I start feeling some pain in my side. And it continues getting worse and getting worse over the period of about 24 hours. The time I finally go to the doctor. The doctor listens to my symptoms and he presses right here. He's like, yeah, that's your appendix. And it doesn't feel good, so I think it's going to have to come out immediately. So I went straight to the hospital, had my appendix taken out. I was in the hospital for a few days. I come home, then I develop a post-surgical infection in the wound. And so I spent basically that entire holiday season on a couch recovering from surgery, leading straight up to the time where I had to get back up and talk about something that happened in my year. And I remember getting up on stage, and the two things I distinctly remember saying that I'd learned from this incident were, routine surgery is what happens to other people. Routine surgery is not what happens to you. And secondly, that I need a lot of control. And, you know, getting put under for surgery is like the biggest out of control experience you can have. And that really messed with me. So I distinctly remember reflecting on that. And I was thinking about that particular New Year's this year, because once again, I had surgery over the holiday seasons and have spent the majority of the holidays trying to recover from surgery. And once again, I'm up on stage talking to everyone again around New Year's. So I thought, just for symmetry purposes, and because it's a lot of fun, that we'd spend some time thinking about reflection and reflecting on this past year. And so we're going to get an opportunity to do that. We're going to give you an opportunity at some point later in the service to spend some time reflecting on your year. But as we get started, let's first start with spending a few minutes thinking about the act of reflecting, why it's helpful and why it can be an important spiritual practice for us. And to do that, we're going to be in Psalms 106. We're going to start in Psalms, and we're going to be starting Psalm 106. Now, the author of this particular psalm is spending his time reflecting on Israel and its history and their rocky relationship with God. See, anytime in the Old Testament you find this pattern between Israel and God, God comes and saves Israel, and they start following God. Then after a while, they turn away from him, and it leads to consequences. And then they cry back out to God to save them. God comes in and saves them, and the cycle starts over again. And so as the author of this psalm is reflecting on this, a pattern emerges in what he says. So we're going to look at that pattern a little bit this morning. So we're going to start in Psalm 106, verse 7. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. So what was happening here? Israel were enslaved in Egypt. And Moses shows up, and God shows up, and God does all kinds of miracles in Egypt to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. So the people experience these miracles that free them from Egypt. As they're journeying out of Egypt, they come to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea is massive, and they have no idea how they're going to get across. And so instantly, in that moment, faced with that obstacle, they forgot about all the miracles God had just done to get them out. And they start rebelling against God. Verse 8. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up, led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy, he redeemed them. Waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praises. So once again, God miraculously intervenes in their lives and rescues them. How do they respond to this? A few verses later, verse 13. But soon they forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave in to their cravings. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. Again, they forgot. When they're out there in the desert, they've got out of Egypt miraculously. They've got across the Red Sea miraculously. And now in the desert, faced with more desert hardships, they forget what God did for them again. And this pattern repeats. Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And the Israelite people create a golden calf because they were tired of waiting for Moses and they rebelled against God. Verse 21, they forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt. Over and over and over again, anytime life got difficult, they allowed fear and they allowed doubt to overwhelm them and make bad decisions and turn away from God, all because they forgot what God had done. Forgot all the ways in which God had come through for them, in the extraordinary, in the daily, in the ordinary. They forgot. People who had seen so much happen in their lives, whenever anything went wrong, it went right out the window, as if it never happened. They forgot. Unfortunately, often we can be the same way. God shows up in our lives in numerous ways. I think if we really focused on it, we could all probably come up with ways in which God has worked in our lives. But it's easy for us to forget. It's easy for us to forget. And when we experience hardship, when we experience trouble, worry, fear, doubt, we forget too. And we don't often remember all the things that God has done for us. All the ways that God has come through for us in the past. But what if there was another way? What if there was another way? What if we could use those past works of God in our lives to give us confidence, to give us peace, to give us faith when things got difficult? Well, that's where reflection comes in. That's where reflection comes in. See, elsewhere in Psalms, the psalm writer Asaph, reflecting on this very same topic of Israel and their rocky relationship with God, resolved not to make the same mistakes, resolved not to have the same things happen to him that constantly kept happening to Israel. Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12, he says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all of your works and meditate on all of your mighty deeds. See, Asaph sees that pattern that played out in Israel about how the same mistakes kept occurring. He's like, that is not going to happen to me. I will remember what you've done in my life. I will specifically remember it by reflecting on it, by meditating on it, by bringing it back into my mind. And I will reflect on the things that you have done, on the works that you have done in your life. In the very next psalm, he expands this solution from himself to all of Israel. And he says this, he says, we will not hide them, God's works, from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, his wonders he has done. So the next generation will know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, will tell their children. So what he's saying is here, if I reflect on the works of God and I remember them, if we collectively reflect on the works of God in our lives and in the lives of our people, and then if we turn, tell our children of how God has worked and how God has done, we can break this pattern. We can break this cycle of forgetfulness and responding with doubt every time something happens. We can do it. And the same thing is true for us. If we want to be able to use God's past works to give us faith and confidence in the future, we need to spend some time reflecting. And reflecting actually has a number of benefits for us. One of the ways reflecting helps us is because we forget. Let's face it, we are very forgetful people. Just this past week, I was looking through the list of movies I've seen this year, trying to come up with my like 10 best movies for my podcast. And as I'm looking over through the list, it was like, oh, I forgot about that movie. I forgot I saw that one. Wait, that one was this year? I didn't realize that one was this year. And it was amazing how much I had forgotten. And that's true. We forget so much of what happens to us in our daily lives. And that also unfortunately includes ways in which God has helped us, ways in which God has shown up in our lives on a daily basis. We forget. And reflecting will help us bring those things back into our mind, help us remember all the times that God has gotten us through this year. Reflecting also helps us because we have a negativity bias. I don't know if you've realized this, but part of how our brains work is we tend to be really negative. We are much, much better at remembering negative events than we are remembering positive events. They stick with us more, we remember them more, and it also colors how we view things. So because we have a negativity bias, one of the things that reflecting on the good things that happened or the ways that God has reflected on us and helped us this year is it helps balance that out. It helps give us a better sense of what went well and what didn't. And that also leads to our third thing, perspective. Perspective. See, one of the things that looking back on a year after it's passed is we get distance from the things that happened to us. We have a little bit of distance, and processing takes time. It takes time for us to process the events in our lives and things that have happened. And now, at the end of the year, more of the story has unfolded. And so it's important for us to go back, reflect, and reevaluate the things we went through. Because if we don't, one of the things that can happen is we can get stuck with our initial emotion or our initial impression of something that happened to us. And that may not be accurate anymore. And I think just within the last year, year and a half, I had a major dose of this. I was talking with my wife, and I forget what we were talking about, but I said to her, I said, I am just not a good event planner. And she looked at me, and she's like, what are you saying you're not a good event planner? What do you mean? And we start listing off all the events that I've planned that have gone reasonably well, and I'm like, why do I have this belief that I am not a good event planner? And as I was thinking back on it, as I was looking at it, it turns out, when I was my very first year in ministry, when I was still a full-time college student, I was 22 years old, I was working part-time, in first couple months I was there, I did a couple of events that didn't go so well. So for almost 20 years, I'm carrying around this impression of myself that I never went back and reevaluated, re-reflected on, and I was stuck with that impression. If we don't reevaluate the things that happen to us, if we don't reflect on them, then we can lose that benefit of perspective that we could gain. So, that's what we're going to do. But first, before this, reflecting on that, a quote from John Maxwell, and this will kind of seal that point in that perspective is something we need. Experience is not the best teacher. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. That's where reflection comes in. When we evaluate the experience that we have, then the real wisdom and the real things God wants to show us can come out. So we're going to work on reflection. We're going to spend a few minutes this morning reflecting. And each of you should have been given a sheet on your way in. And if not, the questions will be up here. But the sheet you've been given is a full reflection workout. I think there's 11 questions on both sides. We are not going to go through all 11 questions, so don't worry about that. All right? We're just going to pick a couple of these. And how I want you to work on this is, as we talk about these questions, at any point during these questions, if you get an insight into how you would respond to this, write it down. There should be pens in the seats in front of you, or you can steal one from a neighbor if you don't have one. But as any point in this, as we're looking at some of these questions, if an answer pops into your mind, write it down. You don't have to spend time detailing it. Just jot down the basic idea, and that way you can come back to it later. The goal is that this is just going to get you, hopefully get you started on the exercise of reflecting on your year. And the goal is that you take these papers home with you, and then over the next week, spend some time thinking and answering these questions. It's just a prompt to kind of help you get into the reflective mindset. Now, kids, some of these questions you want to pay attention to, because there's spaces on your sheet where you can answer some of these questions. You can draw in your answer, or you can write in your answer, whatever you want. And you will not have to turn these in. These are just for you, so you can write down whatever answers. Nobody else is going to see them. There will be one question later I want your response to, but I'll give you a heads up when that's coming. Okay. Now, this is the exercise that I spent some of my time this week doing. So as we go through a couple of these questions, I'm going to give you my answers, and hopefully that will prompt you and get you thinking about how you can reflect on your year. So let's look at the first question. This should be number one on your sheet. What are the things you most enjoyed about 2023? What are the things you most enjoyed? Are there trips? Did you go on trips this year? What about relationships? Were there special relationships that you really, really valued this year, or that took the next step in some way, shape, or form that led to you enjoying this year? What about experiences? Were there specific experiences you had this year that you really enjoyed? What about successes? Did you have successes, personal successes, business successes, professional in any capacity? Are there successes that you enjoyed? Or what about just little small moments, things that happened that just made you smile? What comes to your mind that made you enjoy things about 2023? The goal with this question is this is supposed to draw our attention to the blessings in our lives, things that often we forget or that we overlook. So this is an option on your sheet, kids, if you want to go ahead and draw your answers. So I'll give you a couple of mine. The first one was my trip to Fiji. And late February, early March of last year, I had the extraordinary opportunity to go to Fiji with my dad. We got the chance to teach a two-week night course at a Bible college in Fiji. And so we got to spend almost 2 weeks in this gorgeous, incredible country on the other side of the world, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The big photo was the view out of our hotel room, and the top one was the deck that we would sit out on. So it was such a cool setup, because we'd go out in the morning, we'd spend time reading and reflecting and praying and just relaxing on the beach, and then in the evening we got to teach. And the Bible students there were incredible. They were so hungry to learn and so eager to hear the teaching. And it was such a rewarding experience for me, especially because my dad's going to be retiring as a pastor in the next month. And this is the last big ministry trip he was going to take. And so to get to share that moment with him and spend that time with him was a really, really valuable experience for me. So that was absolutely one of my highlights from 2023. Another one of my highlights is watching my daughter grow. The one on the left there, this was her this time last year. And then, of course, the one on the right was taken maybe 2 weeks ago here at church. And just the incredible amount of development. She was almost one, and now she's almost two. And she has grown so much and developed so much over the last year. This time last year, she was talking maybe a little bit and couldn't walk yet. She could pull herself up, but she wasn't walking yet. Now, this year, this is actually a still from a video that our awesome nursery worker sent us. This was, I think, the week before Easter. These great nursery workers were convinced they were going to try and get Olivia to walk. And that morning, Olivia walked from one side of the room to the other side of the room up in nursery. And that was the moment that it sunk in for her that she could walk. And she's been flying around the house ever since. And just the other day, just reflecting on how much she's grown and developed, she got a new backpack for Christmas. And she walked up to me and she said, "Daddy, put on my back." I'm like, "You're not even two yet. What are you saying complete sentences for?" But watching her develop has been absolutely incredible and has been absolutely one of the highlights of my year. So what is it for you? What are your highlights? We're going to give you about a minute or so right now to think, reflect, and write down some answers. So what were your highlights? What did you enjoy from 2023? Go ahead and write it down. The second question we're going to look at, number two on your sheet. What are the things you found most challenging in 2023? What are the things you found most challenging? Have there been difficult circumstances in your life? Have you encountered problems? Have there been personal or professional failures that you've had to deal with this year? Maybe it was health issues or just unforeseen changes that have hit you in some way, shape, or form. What are the things that challenged you? It's important for us to think through the things that were challenging this year, the hardships, the failures. Because if they're left unattended, if they're left unprocessed in our lives, they can fester and they can be spots where enemy can gain a foothold in our lives. So it's important for us to think back through the things that were challenging for us. For me, mine is fairly obvious. I was playing soccer on September 30th and I got run into and immediately went down in a lot of pain. Come to find out that I'd torn my ACL and my MCL, or ACL and LCL, and I was going to require surgery. So November 20th, I went in for ACL reconstruction surgery and have been recovering since, and am still, as you can tell, in recovery. But this season has been incredibly difficult because instantaneously, the things I could do with Olivia were cut very, very down to almost zero in some ways at some periods of time. And so I had the burden of trying to heal and recover and deal with injury. My wife had the burden of trying to do significantly more around the house and with our daughter than is ordinarily the case. And so for us, it's been difficult trying to navigate all of the things that come with an injury, illnesses, all those type of things that come up in our lives. So for me, this has been a tough season. It's been a tough season for our family as I try to recover from this injury. What is it for you? What were the things that were challenging for you in your life? Take a minute now and reflect on that and write down some prompts of things that you want to think through and challenges that happened in your life. Go ahead. Hopefully you have something to work through this week, to look back, to reflect on, spend some time on some of those things. Third question. Where have you seen God show up in your life? in 2023? Where have you seen God show up in your life? Like the Israelites, we are quick to forget the work of God in our lives and the ways in which he has been faithful to us. So let's spend some time thinking about how God has been at work in each of our lives, bringing that back to the forefront and see how God has guided us through this year. I know I've spent some time trying to reflect on what God has in store for me and what God has for me through this injury and illness. And one of the things I keep coming back to is God seems to constantly trying to test my patience. I am not one who likes to sit around. I'm not one who likes to, you know, play it easy. And so to have to be down, have to do this, has been a challenge for me. And I've seen God working at me and trying to work on my patience. But I've also seen his blessing in my life through those of you in the congregation who brought us meals while I was down, through the way my wife has cared for our daughter and myself. And one of my favorite moments is coming home from surgery, we were explaining to Olivia that Daddy's knee was hurt. And she came walking over to me and bent down and gave my knee a kiss. And so those little moments of grace that I got to experience are clearly a gift from God. So where has God shown up in your life? In the area of provision, safety, guidance, opportunity, wisdom. Reflect on that right now for a minute. I hope you've been able to see the value in spending some time reflecting. And I hope you'll take some time this week. Complete that exercise. Do some time reflecting on your past year. It can be incredibly valuable for you in your spiritual journey, in your spiritual walk, and just in life in general. So before we pray, we're going to conclude with one final question, and I want you to write this one on your connection card. I want to know what you think about this. As we go into 2024, what are your hopes for Crossroads? What would you love to see God do in the church this year? So take a moment while I'm praying or as the song is coming up to conclude, to reflect on what you'd like to see God do for Crossroads this coming year. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for 2023. We thank you for all of the things that happened to us this year, both the incredibly joyful, the good, the challenging, and all the ways in which you've met us where we need to be this year. God, help us as we come to the conclusion of 2023 that we will take time to reflect on you, to reflect on the journey that we are going through, to gain perspective, to gain wisdom and understanding as to what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in the church, and what you're doing in the world. So God, help us to be able to take that time to focus on you, and to focus on what you have in store for us, not just in the past, but what we have coming up for 2024. I'm excited about being here at Crossroads this coming year, and excited to see what you're going to do in our lives this year. In your name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.